Hello, Internet. We have a few exciting things to tell you. First of all, we've moved. We've left Podomatic and have moved in with Libsyn, which is spelt Libsyn. And they're a lot friendlier and they give us back a lot of messages. We're in the process of moving everything over on the site, but you can see all of our episodes now at bakerstreetbabes.libsyn.com. If you've subscribed through iTunes, don't worry, your service will remain uninterrupted. Okay, huge announcement time. We were offered and accepted a partnership with Audioboo. Audioboo is kind of a big deal. They have hosted podcasted news reports and all sorts, including things from like BBC Radio 4, The Guardian, Stephen Fry, and more. They're expanding into the USA, and we're naturally now part of that expansion. It's a little bit ironic that I'm reading that out, but never mind, continuing on. The best part of Audioboo, though, is that you can record your own boos to leave comments on the podcast and ask questions, which is really great because it means you guys can interact with us more. We're still loading our show there at the moment, but you can bookmark audioboo.fm/channel/Baker Street Babes podcast, which is all one word, to keep updated. Now, and last, but certainly not least, we want to give a big thank you to everybody who helped us raise a whopping $6,500 for our Sherlock CC party, aka the Sherlock Bats at San Diego Comic Con. It's shaping up to be an insane event. We've sold out for an age, but if you're interested in tickets, it's on Thursday, the July the 18th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Brick and Mortar, and we have a waitlist. Just email us at events@bakerstreetbabe.com.
Hello everyone, I would just like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. First off is Gasogene Books, which is the premier publisher of books about Sherlock Holmes and his world. They've assembled a broad array of titles sure to appeal to the discriminating reader. Whether you've just discovered the great detective or you're a seasoned Sherlockian, you're sure to find many unique volumes to pique your interest. Take a few moments to check out their website at www.wessexpress.com and browse through their titles. And once you've made your selection, ordering is just an easy few clicks of your mouse. Click, click. Also, the Baker Street Journal. It continues to be the leading Sherlockian publication since its founding in 1946 by Edgar W. Smith. With both serious scholarship and articles that play the game, the journal is essential reading for anyone interested in Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, and the world where it is always 1895. Not yet a subscriber? Subscribe today to the most respected source of Sherlockian scholarship. More details can be found at www.bakerstreetjournal.com. Also, make sure to follow them on Twitter at BakerSTJournal for fun facts every single day with quotes from the canon and all sorts of things. And last but not least, the Scintillation of Scions. The Scintillation is an annual symposium of fans for Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, sponsored by Watson's Tin Box in Maryland. The event includes speakers and attendees from around the U.S. as well as local Sherlockians. The tradition they have established is to have at least one first-time presenter in order to offer an opportunity for them to have the experience of public speaking and to a friendly crowd. This year's Scintillation has passed, but go to www.scintillation.org to find out about next year's and more events at Watson's Tin Box. Are you interested in becoming a sponsor? Get in touch by emailing us at info@bakersheetbabes.com.
Brief housekeeping note. Because of my stupidity, there's a slight echo at some parts of this episode. I have edited it to the best of my abilities, and then the toddlers that I look after decided they wanted to make the levin really high and saved it, and I couldn't change it. So some parts of it are a little annoying. I apologize, blame the children, and otherwise this is perfectly listenable. It's lovely. There's just a few bits that you may be like cursing my name. Apologies, but otherwise enjoy.
Scotland Yard, they send you home. You feel like you're losing your mind. If this quotidian world. world has got you crying. Won't you two one in mine?
Sally don't have like a poem from last time.
Yeah. We could make one up. We could just like, you know,
rap it.
Hardcore, yeah, hardcore, like rap that.
Catherine, I deem you responsible for doing that.
Roses are red, violets are blue, Lestrade is great, we love you.
That was awful.
It was meant to be.
Everybody's a critic. This will be episode 42.
Whoa.
So Lestrade is the answer to life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he
that's
is.
A thing.
That's a fact.
So congratulations, Lestrade. Or Lestrade.
Or Lestrade.
It's Lestrade.
This was a story we vowed to tell. So
please.
Don Hobbs, the Don Hobbs of Don Hobbs, who has probably the oddest Sherlockian collection in the universe, because he has
foreign language books, isn't he?
Correct. Yes. So he collects versions of the canon that he can't himself read, and he has if the language exists and Sherlock Holmes has been translated into it, and that is most of them, he probably has a copy. So he was invested into the Baker Street Irregulars last year. And with the amazing investiture name Lestrade, or Lestrade. And I went up to him afterward, because I was very excited. He's from Texas, and he is a charming, wonderful gentleman. And I said, well, how are you going to pronounce your investiture name? Is it going to be your Lestrade or Lestrade? And he said, Lindsay, I'm from Texas. It's Lestrade.
We should put that in the podcast, because I don't think it made it into the other one that we did.
Oh god, it was so funny.
We're recording?
Yes.
Yes, we're recording.
We're recording. Surprise, Melinda.
I've been eating. Rather noisily.
We can just insert that in there, take out some of the sounds of people's forks and the kind of crunch that you can hear in the background.
We didn't even do the intro.
Oh. We kind of did.
Well, you know, it's not as if we're interviewing anyone at the moment, so right. We can't ask them questions. True. We can just talk about, I mean, theoretically, if Lestrade had a favorite canonical case.
We kidnap him, and he could be Lestrade and we could ask him questions.
Absolutely. Well, if he was in the house. Yes,
no,
but
he's not
you're
there.
Gonna have to settle for Prufrock. My cat.
Prufrock, what's your favorite Sherlock Holmes story?
She's licking her belly right now. So
that means
I'm gonna go with
that means blue carbuncle.
Blue carbuncle.
Yeah. It's good taste. She's got good taste.
Good choice.
Yeah.
I suppose we should say who's all here. Because I think that's something that a lot of people... What did you just pick off of Lindsay?
I think it was a hairball. Yeah.
So, on this episode, there's me, Christina.
Lindsay Faye, hi, how are you?
Melinda Carrick.
That's your cue to say your names.
Kaffers is here, or Catherine, if you would want to call me that as well.
And Sarah. Yeah.
Ard and Sarah spoke at the same time, but you get the message.
That's all you get. That's the only chance you get.
We're so good.
We're so, so good at podcasting.
So, push now, y'all.
Right. So, this episode is Lestrade Appreciation Hour.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to talk about with that fella.
There is a lot to talk about. I got some questions off of Twitter, but before we go into that, I suppose, I know, should we all say who our favorite Lestrade is?
Oh, maybe? Sure, yeah, we can do like
our
a
favorite Lestrudel.
Lestrudel.
Your favorite Lestrudel.
I like apple Lestrudel.
I like apple Lestrudel.
Why do people let us on the internet?
I don't know.
Why do people listen to our podcast? Some mystery.
So we'll do those that aren't in the same room first. So Catherine, who's your favorite Lestrudel?
Yeah, probably I'd have to say the Sherlock Lestrudel, because he's a nice bit of grey Lestrudel in his hair. I'm sure Jen would agree with me if she was here. that adorable man.
Mm-hmm. Artie, who's your favourite Lestrudel?
Well, I do like Rupert Grace, but I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Colin Jeevans from the Brett series.
Preach.
Because for the sole reason that I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves, and he was an awesome Lestrade.
Aww.
Sarah?
I agree that the Granada Lestrade was magnificent. He has the look, as he's described in the canon, I think, and he's a wonderful actor, but I have to give it to Rupert Graves.
Fair. Oh, yeah. What's your favorite Lestrudel?
I agree that the one in the Granada series was probably more accurate, but I think that Rupert Graves really just knocks it out of the park. He was also just given a better part.
Mm-hmm,
they fleshed him out a lot more as a character, and you get to see a lot more of him, which I think, more than anything else, is why I prefer his version to anybody else's.
Very fair point. I'm, like, team Colin Jeevans, like, hands down. The Six Napoleons episode, I weep copiously. It's stupidly pretty, you know? I mean, and he does it perfectly, where he just says, you know, we're proud of you. And there's not a man at the yard who wouldn't shake your hand. And you can see Jeremy Brett just, like, acting his face off and tearing up, and it's like, it's gorgeous, and I have a lot of feelings about the Six of Millions episode, so I'll
acting.
I'm also in Team Silver Fox, but I actually really like Eddie Marston in the Ritchie films.
Oh, he's great!
Because he's just really fun, and is he the only Lestrade that's gotten to punch in Sherlock?
This is a really good point you're making.
He actually got to punch him, which I feel like a lot of Lestrades wanted
to.
Don't we all?
Right. It's like a very special private club of people who've gotten to punch Sherlock Holmes in the face.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like he's a premium member.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great. I want them to write the third screenplay faster.
Write faster!
So I can have it.
Right faster. And I want him to come in more of it, because he was just at the very end of the second one. That's like, where's Lestrade?
That was actually unfortunate. He was underused in Game of Shadows. Or A Gay of Gay.
Gay of Gay.
as it's called.
We say this with all fondness.
A Game of Shadows, or as it's referred to in insider circles, Gay, Gay, Gay.
What the film about hating trees.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, tree support group.
Thank you for bringing him up, because I actually wasn't remembering that he was that brilliant, and he was really good.
He's good, because he also follows the description.
He really does.
He's short, he's got a little rat face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's kind of Weasley, but he's not not in manners, but in, like, looks.
Yes.
Oh, totally. Weasel-tastic.
Yeah. That's a weasel-tastic British description of somebody to use, like, a weasel as, like, a description, because it's, like, such a typically British animal. They're like, oh, this man kind of looked like a weasel. That tells you everything you need to know about him. And then other people reading the book are like, what?
Why isn't there, like, with the otters and the hedgehogs, there should be weasels.
Why isn't that happening
with Colin Jeevans or with you know, Eddie Marston or any number of them? It would.
Why
work.
Hasn't anyone drawn them?
That should be a thing.
We do.
Yeah.
We want Weasel Lestrade, and we want it now. Right. So, questions from Twitter or Tumblr, even. How many questions have we got?
Quite a few. Like, there's everything from those comments to, like, this one girl sent, like, 3 tweets full of questions. I'm like, okay.
Tweet sauce.
We'll knock out the BBC ones, because there's quite a few.
Okay.
This one is from For Science John. For science!
For science!
For science!
Why do you think Gatiss and Moffat strayed from the bumbling idiot portrayed, other versions tend towards?
Well, they did it with John, didn't they? So it makes sense for them to do it with Lestrade as well. It fits the tone of the piece better when they're competent. And I think, wasn't it Stephen Moffat who says that without Sherlock Holmes, like, Lestrade is this incredibly competent policeman, but like, when you compare him to Sherlock Holmes, as with anybody, he just seems, like, less...
adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very apt, and, like, canonically speaking, we have to remember that Holmes multiple times says that Lestrade is the best of the Yarders.
Yes. You
know? He does,
He's at the top of his game. So we have Sherlock Holmes's say-so on that. He respected him and wanted to work with him. And I think it's really clear by the time you get to Six Napoleons that they're friends. So it's, you know, it makes sense that the BBC version would have a competent, you know.
Badass.
Yeah. Badass.
And like what Melinda was talking about, like they fleshed him out a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had this, if you just had him like appearing ever so often, then he could fall prey to that, oh, I'm just a stupid police officer.
Mm-hmm.
But they have him like, with, like, a relationship with Sherlock and with John and everyone. So, to make him look like a complete incompetent idiot, you'd be like, why does Sherlock even bother with him?
Yeah.
Especially in the BBC version.
They almost set up his character within the first few moments of A Study in Pink, actually, when you first meet him. Like, you almost know immediately that he's somebody who's sort of at the end of his rope and really needs Sherlock Holmes, but otherwise is fairly competent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it becomes quite clear, which I find fascinating in the BBC version, that he knew Sherlock when Sherlock had a drug problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
another question.
Oh, so we'll save it for then. Can I ask a strange side question? Do we count Gregson from elementary as Lestrade? Because Gregson and Lestrade are basically the best of the Yarders in A Study in Scarlet. And they are, you know, compared to each other as being, you know, the most competent of the Yard. And that's, if you're talking about archetypes, the same person.
Yeah.
I mean, does that count? Like, do we talk about Aidan Quinn as Lestrade?
I think we should, because if...
Quinn, please.
Artie wants to talk about Aidan
Quinn.
Go on,
then.
Artie, talk about Aidan Quinn.
Bring it, Artie.
Well... The thing about Aidan Quinn is, like, the thing about elementary is you just kind of have to switch your brain off every so often.
You mean for the whole episode?
Lindsay!
No, because the reasons why Sherlock Holmes is working with the NYPD aren't always, you know, don't always make the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, as the series went on, I'm not sure if it actually got better or if I just cared less.
It's beautiful.
And I kind of wish they'd done more with Aidan Quinn as a character, or with Gregson as a character, because...
I've heard a lot of people say that he's, like... horribly underused.
Well, he's a great actor.
That is my main complaint, because you look at him in every scene he's in, you see the potential, and you know you could do so much with this, and you didn't, and it's kind of frustrating. But also, hey, you know, Aidan Quinn, you know, even though he's not in it very much.
I want to throw out there that that Elementary has a lot of fans because it's awesome. So, you know, like, there are a lot of awesome things about Elementary. If people don't care for it, that's fine. If people do really passionately care for it, that's because it's awesome. So, you know, rock on Elementary.
Nice double back.
Well, no, seriously, because like, yes, you are a real Sherlockian. Like, seriously, every adaptation is like fucking badass. So, like, and it's amazing that we get to have three at the moment. We've got, you know, the Warner Brothers incarnation with Robert Downey Jr., who's a bloody superhero. We've got BBC Sherlock, which is amazing. We've got Elementary, which is like making a lot of really interesting, cool casting choices, etc., etc. Like, so you know, if we diss it, we don't mean to diss the fandom. I just want to throw that out.
Well, I'm part of the fandom, and I don't feel this. So
good.
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 We succeeded. Lisa succeeded in her. Yeah, because I was, like, actually on the way over here, I was thinking about how Elementary doesn't have Lestrade, but I think that's because they made a very conscious choice in making Sherlock, like, leaving mm-hmm. London. So, there is a Lestrade. He's just over in London.
And, well, yeah, that's true. And, meanwhile, the figure in the series who sort of plays that role is Crimson. So,
yeah. But they're opening season two in London, so we may meet Lestrade.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Mm.
Interesting, interesting. Next question!
Let's go to that, this is actually the three-parter, but we can split it up. From Jenna 221B.
Woo!
What do you think of Lestrade's first meeting with Sherlock was like? In A Study in Pink, he's known him for 5 years, but says he doesn't know him better than John. Do you believe him? Blah, blah, blah. So basically, like, talking about, like, Lestrade obviously knew him when Sherlock had a drug problem, because that's just alluded to, the fact that Sherlock was a drunk junkie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's your headcanon about, like, how they actually...
That's a really how they met. Question.
Like, is it as extreme as, like, Lestrade found him, like, in an alleyway, just going, ah, 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 with, like, needles hanging out of him, or is it something a little less dramatic?
I like to think that Mycroft might have stepped in and kind of pushed him towards the police, because obviously my personal headcanon is that that particular Sherlock got into drugs because he was bored, because he seems to do a lot of things because he was bored. So obviously, you know, the logical thing would be he got into drugs because he was bored, so like Mycroft pushed him towards, possibly even like made something happen so that him and Lestrade would meet, or even called.
Intentionally got him arrested.
Yeah, intentionally, yeah. It could possibly even intentionally have got him arrested, and Lestrade's like, realizes somehow through their interaction that Sherlock is a genius. Like, maybe he takes him into the police station, and immediately Sherlock sees a board with, you know, something on it, and he solves the crime, like, there and then.
Oh, I love that.
And Lestrade's like, who are you? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, my headcanon goes quite similar to this. Not necessarily with the deliberate Mycroft element, but not so much the finding Sherlock in an alleyway, but like maybe busting him for possession, like locking him up. And when he comes back to, you know, look at him after half an hour, Sherlock kind of figures out, you know, who everybody else in the cells is and what crimes they have and haven't committed. And Lestrade kind of would realize that, you know, he's got, you know, something different there, and that would kind of pique his interest.
I like that, because it's really, you know, it's obvious that that he cares about Sherlock, and that he cares about his career, and that he cares about, you know, like, whether he is being disgraced or not in the final episode so far, you know, in Reichenbachfall. I mean, it's clear that they have, like, a long-standing, like, very cool professional relationship, and it makes sense that he saw him kind of at his worst, and then realized there was potential there.
Yeah.
And also, he was one of the three bullets, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the people that is Sherlock's friend.
Exactly. Which is, like, amazing, because Mycroft is nowhere in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Burn.
Nobody's surprised.
Burn.
Do you have any headcanons, Melinda?
No, but I was gonna say, I think not to downplay the friendship between Sherlock and Lestrade, but I think that third bullet would have gone to Mycroft if he would have been able to get to Mycroft.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
Hmm. Because the others will be a lot easier to kill.
That's a fact.
Yes.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, Mycroft would be a hard target.
Yeah.
He can't catch
me! Not just because of Mycroft.
No, not just because he's slender.
He's so slim.
Yo, send him a cake and then try again.
Oh, God. I get my headcanon is just so dramatic, because it is like finding like high kid in an alleyway, and maybe like being tipped off by Mycroft, being like, can you find my brother, please? Mm-hmm. And he does. But I'm just a masochist, so I like seeing my characters in pain.
Oh, totally. It's completely plausible that it's something like that, you know?
But we'll never know, because
they might.
I don't know, they've said so many times that they're never going to reveal any past stuff.
They might not. The moment in Belgravia when the Mycroft cigarette thing.
Yeah,
the
Danger
test,
Night.
Danger Night. And how it's so clear that Mycroft and John have had this conversation where they're like,
it's happened before.
And it's happened before. Yes. and you know that Greg Lestrade is in on it. Like, this is like, just something that happens from time to time with Sherlock Holmes, and they need to deal with it. We talked about it at the epilogues meeting last night about we were doing the missing three-quarter case. And in the missing three-quarter, Watson basically says, look, this is a drug mania that once threatened to end his remarkable career, more or less. And it is a real canonical problem. And yeah. It's, like, really cool in the BBC version that Lestrade is savvy to it and is aware of it and still really respects him as a criminal investigator.
Yeah, and he uses it against him. Like, it's a drugs bust!
It's a drugs bust!
Yeah, that's, like, one of my favorite bits. Anything.
Yeah, it's really good.
One thing I thought was a nice touch in Elementary is if we're going to be, you know, doing the whole Gregson and Lestrade being the same character, is that there's a moment where I forget who does, it's probably Sherlock Holmes himself, but actually tells him, you know, I used to
be
a drug user. And his response is like, well, duh, of course I knew that. Like, I'm an investigator. You're forgetting that I'm not a complete idiot. And yes, I knew this, actually.
That was great.
Thanks so much.
That
for
scene was awesome. Yep.
Thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah, I knew that.
Gracias.
Gracias.
In the Richie films, or
in the Colin Jeevons incarnation ever does, because in the canon, he's not really aware of Holmes's drug problem. It's only Watson who is aware of it. And the Granada series was basically like taking canon and photocopying it, like as much as they could.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome. But do you not safe for work.
Do you think that he would have even tried to hide it?
Well, no, because it was completely legal in the Victorian era, so it wouldn't have been a problem in the first place. So even if Lestrade had known about it, it would have been not an issue because it was...
It wasn't really seen as a vice either, was it? It was sort of almost normal, like people took laudanum and all sorts of crazy stuff, like, for nerves.
Oh, if your kid was crying, if you're...
Drug him!
Yeah. I mean, Christina's a nanny. I've given her mad tips.
Just a little opiate. Just a little Jack Daniels on that binky.
Oh,
Yeah,
they were very substance friendly back in the Victorian era, so it wouldn't have been a problem.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, and the second part of that was like, Lestrade says that I've known him for 5 years and I don't know him as well as John does after he's known him for like a day, and like, and if do we agree with that? Do we believe that?
Oh, I totally believe that.
Yeah. Because John obviously got more of, like, he did the whole connect thing, the other side of the coin, whereas Lestrade is, like, the person that, like, picked up the coin is now carrying it in his pocket in case she brings it out.
That's brilliant. That's
the first amazing
thing. Yes! Cheers!
Cheers!
We're not drinking.
Nope.
This is not
if anyone on the internet believes that. They've seen the photographs of us all after a night out.
That's a great way of putting it, though. And it's completely canonical, because John Watson, when he meets Sherlock Holmes, is instantly fascinated.
Yep.
And Sherlock Holmes is instantly fascinated by John Watson. So it is this sort of love at first sight, I need you in my life, and this is the other half of me that didn't exist before, and it's beautiful, and it is completely canonical, and it's one of those things where, like, Lestrade is a character who gets to sort of watch that happen, and that's super sexy, I think, because...
And he, like, hangs out with them, too. More so in the BBC version, but...
I don't think more so in the BBC version, because at the beginning of the Six Napoleons, he's hanging
out
with them.
You have a Six Napoleons fetish.
I know. That's it's amazing, but at the beginning of the Six Napoleons, he's hanging out with them at Baker Street, because that's a thing they do, where he comes over and just chills with them. And so, like, that's the case where you learn that that's a thing, where Lestrade comes over and he's just like, hey guys! And they're like, what's hey!
Hey girlfriend!
But it's completely canonical. I mean, that's the case where you find that out, where they're bros, you know? It's cool.
Okay.
Can we talk about Beth Lestrade?
Yes, Lindsay. If you don't know, Holmes in the 22nd Century is a lovely animated adaptation. And Lestrade is a lady.
A lady.
And her name is Beth.
Oh, she's great.
And in the Watson and Holmes comic, it's a lady, too.
Yes. Oh, her name is Leslie Stroud.
Yep. See what they did there.
I like that.
It's clever. I like that.
I love the lady Lestrades. They're so cool. Somebody asked, I was scrolling back through Tumblr looking for ways to incorporate Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century. And somebody had posted, they had tagged that title, and they said, if I were to cosplay Beth Lestrade, would anyone know or care? And I was like, ah! Like, I was making whale noises. I care. I don't know that I would be in the same room with you, but if you took pictures, I would.
No.
I've only seen one episode of that, but she's pretty badass. Does she have...
Oh god, she's great.
Is it her, or am I thinking of someone else? She has, like, either a giant gun or, like, a bionic arm.
The bionic arm is Watson from Steampunk. And he's a robot in Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd
That's
century.
Right.
But,
Does she have a giant gun?
Remember whether she has...
I'm just going to say she has a giant gun.
Cool. Well, I mean, metaphorically, if not literally.
She got guns.
What other...
Yeah, I think about the Russian show, but I don't really... There was Lestrade, he wasn't very memorable.
I don't remember him from the Russian show at all.
There is one.
In the first episode of that, and I don't think he appears in it.
I will tell you in a second. That's not how you spell that.
There isn't a Lestrade in The Great Mouse Detective. I was just thinking about it, and there isn't one.
No.
Unless you count Toby the dog. I don't know.
But that's Toby.
That's Toby.
It's Toby.
Toby is Toby.
Yeah. So he's, yeah, I think that's probably one of the only ones I can think of that doesn't have a Lestrade in it, but for obvious reasons, because, you know, it's for children, they have to kind of keep the characters down to a minimum.
That's true. Yeah. It is about efficiency, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the Russian series, Lestrade was played by Borislav Brondukov, and he played him in all 5 films of the adventures.
Why don't I remember this chap?
Poor Borislav.
He has the most epic Russian name I've ever heard. Yeah, so I think we can respect him just for that.
Yeah. He was
born in the village of Dubava.
Cool.
That's exciting.
Wherever that is.
Now, so here are all the other Lestrades. So John Colicos played both Lestrade and Professor Moriarty at the same time.
What?
In the 1989 TV role of My Dearest Watson.
That's their title.
Apparently, Colin Jeevans also played Moriarty at some point.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
It says Colicos and Colin Jeevans are so far the only actors to play both the policeman and the villain.
That's nuts.
When
did Colin Jeevans play Moriarty?
I'm finding out. This is important.
This is relevant to my interests.
Relevant to interests.
I mean, everything ever is relevant to my interests, but that's beside the point.
Right?
It's not the point right now.
Not important.
It's not telling me to IMDb. This is really important.
When they play multiple roles, it's kind of, it's cute. Like, Jeremy Brett played Watson, for instance.
Yes,
in,
he did.
That
on stage, one.
That one. I've seen Charles. A few
Heston.
Right.
I can't even imagine that. That's really weird.
Yes. I know he had a sexy mustache.
Oh, yes, was that Crucible Blood?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Crucible Blood.
That is such a weird film.
So weird. Seriously.
Like, mostly because Charlton Heston has Sherlock Holmes.
It's
a bit of a head fuck.
Colin Jeevans is still alive.
Let's interview.
Let's get him.
Right?
Let's get him.
Go after.
All right, he was Professor Moriarty in the TV series The Baker Street Boys from 1983.
What the actual fuck is that?
I don't know, I'm fucking out. This is exciting, guys. The Baker Street Boys.
Yeah.
It's about the Baker Street Irregulars.
Of course it is. Oh, beautiful.
You need to find... It only has a 6.2 rating, but...
Whatever.
We don't care.
We'll watch anything.
The only person who has a picture is the guy who played Wiggins, Jay Simpson.
Isn't that the one that Tony Lee was telling us about, RD? Or is that a different one? About, like, a murder mystery in the Baker Street Irregulars?
That's his comic that he's written.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. I'm with it now.
And you know what? There's also the Jonathan Pryce version, which is Jonathan Pryce's Sherlock Holmes, and then it's the Baker Street Irregulars, basically their point of view solving a case. I don't remember the title.
Okay, so here's a rather
there should be, there
review.
Definitely should be more things about the Baker Street Irregulars solving crime. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so this series ran for just one season and centered on the band of street-dwelling orphans who occasionally assist Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson solving their cases. In this series, they got the chance to do some detection of their own, as well as dealing with the Conan Doyle regulars Lestrade and Moriarty, confusingly played by Colin Jeevans, who is, of course, Lestrade in the long-running Granada Holmes series.
I need this, like, now.
We need to find this.
I need to mainline
the
it.
Baker Street Boys. The Baker Street Boys. So... fun fact, everyone.
Fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
It is.
Super is.
Yeah, Dennis Hoey played Lestrade in the Basil Rathbone films.
You know what? He was great. We should totally talk about him. He was awesome.
I've actually never seen any of the Rathbone films.
Really?
I have them on DVD, and we can watch them when you come back to England.
Yay!
Yeah, you guys should have the Basil party.
I've got all of them. I've got the box set.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. He had, it was his birthday, like, on the 13th, and so I made a post about him, mm-hmm. and I was looking up biographical information. The guy was a fucking badass. He was a super spy in World War I, and a master of disguise, apparently, and they gave him a Medal of Honor for daring and courage on patrol, because he was a BAMF, and then he comes back and gets arrested for being in a play featuring a gay character, and he's all outraged because homosexuality should be open and totally legal, and Basil Rathbone just owned all his shit. He was awesome. And that series of films, the Lestrade is actually really cool. He's a competent police officer, he is a fun character, and you have kind of Nigel Bruce as the guy who, if there's a banana peel, Nigel Bruce is going to step on it. So Lestrade actually came off really well in the Rathbone films, because Watson is the guy who's going to take the fucking face plant on the banana peel. And, like, the Lestrade from those movies was great. And he was totally this little, like, I think at one point Watson doesn't compare Lestrade to a rat. He says he's like a terrier, and the guy is totally like this little terrier with a mustache, and it's perfect. Like, he's a really... I don't recall his name. You just said it.
Dennis Hoey.
He was great. He was a really good Lestrade.
Awesome.
I just don't know how to say Lestrade or Lestrade.
It's confusing.
Just let it come out.
Lestrade. Here's another double act. Frank Finlay played him twice in A Study in Terror and Murder by Decree.
Oh.
Both focusing on non-canon stories with Holmes investigating the Jack the Ripper murder.
Yeah, okay. So the first one is based on the Ellery Queen novel, and then the second one is...
the Christopher Plummer one?
Yep, the Christopher Plummer one. Which is really interesting, and Ashley Polacek did the talk at UCLA about, she compared and contrasted, like, the two films, and how the male gaze is extremely different, like, 7 or 8 years apart, but the two films are dramatically different. Like, the whores who are being killed in A Study in Terror are kind of sexy saucy, mm-hmm. and by the time you get to Murder by Decree, it's like, no, this is actually, like, real.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to look at those two films side by side. That's cool that it was the same
Lestrade.
Had no idea.
Roger Afton Griffiths played Lestrade in Young Sherlock Holmes. His taking the credit for solving the mystery earned him a promotion from detective to inspector. Mm-hmm. Geoffrey Jones played Lestrade in Without a Clue.
I love that movie.
Lestrade was played by Peter Madden opposite Peter Cushing in the BBC series.
That's not one that I've actually seen sufficiently. Mm-mm. I've seen clips of it, but not...
Oh, so this is actually... We should actually talk about this, because this one, for the Clive Merrison series, they gave Lestrade a first name, and they called him Giles.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Well, because his first initial is G, and you don't ever, you know... That's canonical. His initial is G... G.
It's funny that with a name like that, because you're like, you know, Giles. We don't know how to pronounce this guy's first name or his last name. So.
What is your name?
My headcanon is that he's Jeffrey with a G.
Really? See, I go with the Gregory.
Yeah.
Well, that is sexy because that's a shout out to the other best yarder. So that's a they're giving that to the Sherlockians.
And what do you guys think? What's his first name?
I always thought Greg.
It depends which version. Like
he doesn't look like
version. He just really looked like a Greg. You know?
Yeah. He doesn't look like a Jeff.
No.
But for the others, I think a Jeffrey is more. I don't know. Is it more of a Victorian name?
Oh, I just love the spelling.
It's old fashioned, yeah.
G-E-O. It's one of those things that Arthur Conan Doyle himself, if you'd asked him, he would have made it up on the spot. He'd have been like, meh. And it would have been something that none of us would have expected. It would have been something I don't know. Gaylord.
His name is Greg Lestrade.
It was Jaden, spelled with a G.
Jaden, yeah.
That's exactly what his name was.
Oh my God.
Gregor, something random.
What?
Well, his last name is sort of French, so I don't know what he would have had as a first name. We have people send in your ideas.
Oh, sure.
Guy.
Why wouldn't it be? G-U-Y. Yeah, totally, because he's French. Clearly, Lestrade is a French name.
It is.
I mean, he has French ancestry, which is, that harks back to Sherlock Holmes, because Sherlock Holmes has French ancestry as well.
They look like cheese.
Mais oui.
Bien
sûr. Vraiment.
Je suis désolé to all our French listeners. No, but we have to make a very important statement here. The best Lestrade was William Hugh, who played Lestrade in the Asylum Sherlock Holmes.
Best.
He cried on screen.
He did. Well, I cried watching it.
We don't know what kind of tears they were.
Favorite adaptation.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh my
god. Catherine, you've not seen Asylum Sherlock Holmes?
Promise that you'd show it to me and then it never happened.
I don't even know who you are.
Good thing I'm in a different country.
I can't reach you too far. But, man. Yeah, that is a profound adaptation, and Lestrade is very, very good in it. He is as good as the rest of the
family. He does have a nice bowler hat.
He really, really does.
Mm-hmm. I should make up a drinking game for that film, and then Kappas, you need to come to my house and we'll watch it and get wasted.
I'm totally game for that.
Can I be invited to this?
Listeners, drink responsibly.
Totally.
Anytime something ridiculous happens.
Every time someone arrives on screen in a costume that doesn't fit.
Every
time they use a canon line and then make a ridiculously long pause after it to make sure it fits.
Every time a totally ludicrous monster and or weapon appears. A Gatling gun or a dinosaur.
Our first commentary is going to be the pilot, but afterwards we need to do Asylum.
Oh, totally.
And just be drunk the entire time.
That's it.
Okay, so next question. let's get one that's not Rupert Graves. Okay, this is from Commish24. In canon and films, he's always portrayed as a lower class than Holmes and Watson. Why does this Victorian prejudice continue?
Interesting. He's kind of an everyman. He's kind of a guy's guy. He is typical of the police at the time, if you're going to talk history. The police were not paid all that well.
Yeah.
So it was a working class job, and it was not a job a gentleman would go into. If you were a police officer.
If you're a gentleman, you'd be the judge.
Oh, totally. So that actually culturally made perfect sense. You wouldn't become a police inspector. Well, first of all, he would have risen through the ranks from being a roundsman. So he would have been a roundsman first, and he would have shown aptitude and grit and awesomeness. And then eventually he would have been promoted to being a detective or an inspector. And to go into that job in the first place meant that you were working class. And it also meant that you
were somebody who needed a day job. You needed a paycheck. So this was not necessarily like a profession that, say, for example, Sherlock Holmes would have felt the need to enter. Sherlock Holmes had some money troubles in studying Scarlet, but not sufficiently that he needed a day job, and Lestrade would have, culturally speaking. So that actually makes sense.
Yeah, and to, like, also on top of that, like, the police force was still quite young in London at that point, like an organized police force.
Sure, I mean, the Peelers had been founded in the 1820s. I think. So,
But, like, relatively speaking, it was less than 100 years old. So
absolutely. I mean, it was something like, 60 years old when, Lestrade would have been joining them. And so it was not a system that was particularly well-liked. It was not a system that was particularly well-organized, but they were, intuitive and they were awesome. They were one of the earliest police forces, actually. Paris and London were very, very early for forming police. It took till 1845 for the New York police officers, for instance, to be founded. But the Peelers were a model for everyone thereafter. And they should get mad credit because, you know, Lestrade's his peeps. And they changed law enforcement, you know?
Yep.
Like, the London force really did.
Do you guys want to know a weird fact?
Yes.
About Sir Robert Peel.
No, I hate Peel. I hate that shit.
Well, on my wall in my bedroom, I have a painting that I got from my grandparents after my grandmother died, and it is a painting of the town centre of a place called Tamworth, and the statue in the town centre is of Sir Robert Peel.
Oh, cool.
I'm looking at him right now. Yeah. I have a painting of a statue of Sir Robert Peel on my wall.
And now we have an audio description of a painting. Of a statue.
So weird coinkydink there. So there you go. But yeah, so it is, I mean, it's fascinating because obviously nowadays, Lestrade, as he's portrayed in the Sherlock BBC series, still has that kind of London accent. He's obviously a London boy. And it kind of makes sense for him to have gone into the Met, really, because, you know, if you're like a London lad, he's probably quite, you know, he's probably got quite good grades at school, you know, was driven in that direction. It makes sense that he's like almost part of London itself, you know, whereas Sherlock Holmes almost sees himself as, he loves London, but he stands outside of it as this kind of thing that looks over it, whereas Lestrade is part of London, part of the system.
Lestrade is a lad in the BBC version.
That was so, yeah, that was a very metaphysical way of saying that what you said.
like, a question from Paula Mac _ on Twitter is, or not really a question, but asking if we can talk about Lestrade being a father figure to Sherlock in the BBC version. And, like, you were just talking about, like, that he's sort of a lad, but and sort of harkens back to what we were talking about earlier, is when Lestrade found him when Sherlock was down and out. Mm-hmm. And he definitely, I think, had a very intense part in, like, bringing him back into, like, the working world in a way.
Well, Watson says explicitly that the problem is not the crime solving and the cases, the problem is boredom. Like, mm-hmm. the problem is, he says explicitly in Missing Three-Quarter, far more dangerous for him to be inactive than for him to be running around solving crimes in a, you know, potentially really dangerous setting. But it's worse when he doesn't have that. So yeah, it would have been a really key part of him finding himself, I think, to be able to work at the Met.
Yep. And then also, because I think it was geared toward, like, the BBC one, the line, like, Sherlock Holmes is a great man, but one day, if we're very lucky, he'll be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which we get there eventually.
The plane!
Which is great, because, you know, one of those bullets, I love that one of the bullets was for the Lestrade.
I love that he was about to get shot.
Well, it's such a... Yeah, totally. I love that you mean things
worth noticing.
Yes. Exactly. So that someone who hadn't necessarily seen their friendship develop knew that there was one there, and that and that he was worth killing in order to hurt him.
Yeah, and like, and that's even emphasized when Lestrade obviously doesn't want to arrest Sherlock. Mm-hmm. Like, he has that like intense, just like, this is not okay. And he like, and he goes so far as to warn John that they're coming.
Yeah.
So just in case Sherlock wanted to like run away, he gave him that opportunity.
Yeah.
Which he does. He takes later.
Hostage.
Yeah.
That works.
And I love the facepalm, and Lestrade just is like, why?
It's beautiful.
It is. Why did you do this?
Yeah, the only other question I have for BBC is from Maestro Doodles, asking us to talk about his hair.
Well,
love it.
I don't think
anybody here apart from Jen is qualified to talk about the hair.
No, I don't really have words to do it justice, to be honest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that sad face, and I don't think this is necessarily a spoiler. Is it a spoiler about Lestrade's hair for Series 3?
It's not. Come on.
No. If you're going to say it like that, just say it.
It's gone.
You know.
It's gone.
Wait, what?
He's got like a buzz cut.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But no, like his hair is gone for Series 3, and it just makes me really upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't be upset over such a little aesthetic thing, but I am.
Well, because it was beautiful.
It is.
It was a thing of perfection.
It is.
Maybe he shaved it off in his grief.
Crisis cut.
But I know you don't like it.
Crisis cut.
But yeah, the hair's gone. So that's our lamenting it on.
It's terrible. Where's my sackcloth?
Seriously.
Where are the ashes? Bring the ashes.
Oh, bless.
I'm so ready to watch Colin Jeavons again. Like, just thinking about him now, because he, like, was such the canonical, like, Lestrade to me. And he was charming and annoying and annoyed.
He does have a really good annoyed face.
Oh, God. Yeah. His scram face is perfect. Which episode was it where he was with them on a stakeout?
Oh, God, that's brilliant.
And,
yeah, humbugs.
That's right, the humbugs.
The humbugs.
But then this is not the time for humbugs.
Yes.
All right, but question to Catherine, because you're British. What are humbugs?
Candies. They're candies.
Oh, do you want to be? It's a hard boiled wheat. And you see photographs of them. They're like black and white stripe flavored.
Oh, okay.
It's Memphis like sweet. You get lots of the hard boiled sweets were like really popular back in the day because they're quite easy to make. It's just like boiled sugar and a bit of flavor. So, and people had them because it's like something to, I don't know, a bit of a sugar hit. So yeah, that's a humbug.
I want to throw out my favorite Lestrade moment from the canon, just because reasons. In The Hound of the Baskervilles, he shows up, and the glowing hound is terrifying. And it's so obvious that he's very afraid of it. And he cowers for a second, and he gets up, and he runs toward the hound. And that's beautiful. Because
he's brave,
and bravery is not about not being afraid. Bravery is about being afraid and getting over it and doing that shit anyway.
Yeah.
And I love that moment in Hound of the Baskervilles where Lestrade is terrified of the hound and he's just like, yeah, doesn't matter.
Gotta get her done.
Get her did. And like, it's a beautiful character moment. Like, and it's so subtly written.
Yeah.
And it's really nice because there's a reason that Sherlock Holmes hangs out with this guy.
Yeah, because he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that brilliant bit in The Noble Bachelor.
Yes, where he arrives with the soap dress and I love Sidney Paget's drawing of the moment where he's standing there and you can see how frustrated
he is with
Holmes just being a jerk. It's like, well, what would you have done, you know? And
that, Holmes is just being a dick.
Yeah, as usual. As he's wont to do.
I love The Noble Bachelor, but he's being such a prick to Lestrade the whole time, and Lestrade's just like, ugh!
Are you going to help?
Exactly.
Or are you going to be a dick?
Exactly.
Right. Yes, and.
I choose both.
Amazing.
Oh, that's a great list, right, Kate?
Yeah. But the drawing itself, he doesn't look... Well, I mean, obviously...
He's very handsome in that drawing.
He's not rat-like at all.
No, that patch of drawing, that specific
one, after he's dragged
the... Sydney and Patchett making everyone sexier than they should have been.
True story.
Since the 19th century.
I think that Sydney Paget can take a very sizable claim to why Sherlock Holmes is endured. Because if he was drawing nothing but, you know, like rat face ugly people, I don't want to read that. I want to look at something nice.
Oh, he had the best. Yeah, I think you're completely right. Very evocative, beautiful moment of truth illustrations that were just, you know, apt.
Who was that? Grant Monroe?
Oh, yeah, Grant Monroe! Grant Monroe with double fists
in the air.
Why? You can't see us, but Melinda and I are both amazing.
We're both very stiff with our fists in the air. And that was shockingly
hashtag
bad. It was one of the most uncomfortable illustrations I've ever seen. I would love to get that one framed.
Oh god. That's hysterical. I saw a real Sydney Paget once. It was a crazy, crazy thing because my friend Jerry Margolin, who's an irregular, lives in the same town as my in-laws. He lives in Portland, Oregon. So I visited his house, and he has the biggest Sherlockian art collection probably in the world, and he has a Paget. And it was just me standing there staring at an actual original Sydney Paget framed on the wall.
Wait, of Sherlock the stories? Holmes. Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Which one is it? It was... I think it was from Reigate Squires. But I was just... keep it together.
Melinda has lost her jaw.
Yeah, it was sick. He has a door steal too, but that's not as cool.
No.
It was a legit real Paget.
I have another fact.
Cool.
Go on.
Bring the fact.
Fucking Windows 8. Okay. Seriously, leave that in the podcast. Fucking Windows 8. Okay. The author M.J. Trow wrote a series of 16 books using Lestrade's essential characters.
Those are great!
Did you say that you have them, Artie?
Not all of them, but I have two of them.
Yeah, The Adventures of Inspector Lestrade.
Do you like them, Artie?
I read the first one, and I found it really funny.
I think they're so cute.
Yeah, they're really enjoyable. They're good fun.
His first name is Sholto.
Yeah.
See, I told you, like, it would be something weird.
That doesn't start with a G.
No, it doesn't.
Well, it does, apparently.
G is silent.
G-S-H.
What? And he has a young daughter who he seldom sees.
It's a great series. It's really, really funny. And Sherlock Holmes is a like maniac. Like if it's that trope where Sherlock Holmes is the guy shooting at the wall for no clear reason. Mm-hmm. And so all the M.J. Trow books, Lestrade is the hero of them, and he just has to deal with this guy. And they're so funny. Like,
it appeals to my love of role reversal and trope subversion. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's so satisfying. It's like watching Without a Clue.
Amazing.
Yeah, apparently in one of these he suffers a broken leg in a fall from the gangplank of the Titanic.
What?
Well, so Lestrade was on the Titanic, everyone.
Wow.
At this point.
Headcanon accepted.
Oh my goodness. It's when he came over to America to, like, further his career as a detective.
It must have been something like that, yes.
Glorious.
That M.J. Trow series is actually a really, really good idea because it's such a fun thing to reimagine how Lestrade would actually have looked at Sherlock Holmes. And Sherlock Holmes is a crazy person in that series. And it's like Lestrade picking up after his shit.
So it would be like the real Holmes minus all of Watson's editing.
Exactly.
Like, we can't let people know about this or about this.
Oh, totally. That's exactly what it is.
He was really mean to me just now. I'm going to only put a little bit of that in.
Highly recommended. It's so much fun. Yeah, that series is awesome.
Who's the author?
MJ Trapp.
And they're called The Adventures of Inspector Lestrade from 1985.
Fantastic pastiches. And you can probably track down paperbacks for not too much.
Yeah. Like,
they're around.
And put the sweet. Find linkies.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in the thingy.
On the webs.
On the web.
Under interwebs.
Where the facts live.
Yep.
I feel like my love for Lestrade isn't over.
Yeah.
Oh no, it'll never be over.
We have a question. Is Rupert Graves really good at football? And apparently he is. Nicole Brander.
Well, he's good at balancing shit.
Yes.
We know that.
Subtle. And innocuous.
And he has five children.
He has five children. Like, that is a true statement.
Tell us about Rupert Graves.
Rupert Graves is good at football and has five children.
Sometimes I just want to know
why.
How many times Benedict Cumberbatch was dropped as a child. He's such a perfect human being. And he's such a beautiful, beautiful spaz.
Yes. He is.
Oh.
He is. Like, what do we want to see from, I guess, the BBC Lestrade in Series 3? What do we want to see?
More shirts off scenes.
Cloak up.
Cloak up.
Him interacting with John, like, you know, them going out to the pub together and not inviting Sherlock.
Oh my god, that'd be brilliant.
Bitching about him behind his back.
I feel like they do that.
I kind of ship him with Molly a little.
I'd really, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I want that badly.
I ship that.
Because obviously his wife is cheating on him.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, obviously now that Sherlock told him.
That second time. I love that because you can just see it going through his head going, shit, he's right.
And then you can see John just being like, not kind. That was not kind. Isn't it kind?
You see, Molly would understand that he had to work long hours because she's a pathologist, you know, she works in the lab. They'd be beautiful together.
Oh my god, they'd be adorable.
And
you know that they would have so much in common to bitch about.
They could bitch about Sherlock, they could bitch about dead people, they could, you know.
Oh,
all sorts of things. Maybe he likes, like, her cat, or...
Sure.
Glee. Maybe he's into Glee.
It's possible.
I'm imagining Lestrade to watch Glee now, and that's very amusing to me.
Well, he is very tolerant, you know. I saw when he talks to Mrs. Hudson about her fashion, he stands there and nods along.
Oh, that's adorable. That's one of my favorite scenes.
The colors, like, the colors.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
I really, let's just be real here. I ship that hard.
Yeah.
Mrs. Hudson? Yeah, totally.
No!
I kind of want more, I mean, apart from all the romantic stuff, because, you know, he is totally, you know, I can see him with Molly or Mrs. Hudson or anyone, but, like, in realistic terms, I want to see more kind of competence and more of him kind of reining Sherlock in, because he did that a little bit.
The wrangling?
Before, you know, Sherlock walked all over him, and I'd like him to not let Sherlock do that.
Also, maybe a little bit of wrangling for Donovan.
Donovan?
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see how all those relationships change in Series 3 once they realize he's not dead.
Yeah. Awkward moment.
I want some real pissed offness from Lestrade. I mean, I want pissed offness from John, but I also want it from Lestrade.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Maybe he'll get to punch Sherlock as well and he can join that club.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
I always hear punch me in the face when you're talking, but it's usually subjects.
Best line or best line?
Oh, yeah. Perfection.
Beautiful.
Hashtag awesome.
I'm wondering what the fallout from the whole Richard Brooke thing will have done to Lestrade's career, because I doubt that he can just get away with nothing. He's lucky if he still has a job, probably.
Sure, for sure. Yeah.
Maybe he'd get demoted, and then Sherlock could help him get his career back.
Yeah. He's back to, like, a paper pusher or something.
He gets, like, I don't know, maybe he gets moved out of London, and that's, like, the plot. They have to get Lestrade back to London.
He's in, like, Dorchester or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I picked Dorchester as the first thing that came to my mind.
I was just thinking of the Hot Fuzz movie, actually. Nice.
He's like the detective for like this like little town where nothing happens. It's just like sometimes kids like graffiti like the local convenience store or something.
Speaking of Hot Fuzz, how good is that film first? And second, how awesome a Lestrade would Simon Pegg be?
Oh, he would be fantastic.
I know, right?
Yeah, he'd play it straight as well.
He would really well. He would, and he'd be so good.
He was born for that.
Simon Pegg, dear Simon Pegg.
Hold on, Tegan.
When the Baker Street Rapes write their adaptation of Sherlock Holmes, would you like to be?
Exactly. Yes.
Because... Dear Simon Pegg, we think you should play Lestrade.
Tweet the man.
That is all.
You are not serious.
Yes,
we are.
We are seriously doing that. That is a thing.
I forgot to put play, so I did. Dear Simon Pegg, we think you should do Lestrade.
Well, maybe delete that one. No,
I deleted that.
If you want to rephrase that to a Brit, I found a bit odd.
Okay.
We are good at podcasts.
It's done. He's not going to reply, but other people will see that and be like, oh yeah, totally. Happened. Well, who would be the Sherlock to Simon Pegg's Lestrade?
This is a good question.
I'm seeing Zachary Quinto, but that's nothing.
Bless. I'm sure he can do a British accent.
Matt Smith's quite good.
Yeah.
I think he auditioned for the role of Watson.
He auditioned for Watson, but he's much more of a Sherlock.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to imagine him as Watson, and it's just hysterical, and it would be so weird, and definitely just not work, but...
Well, I mean, it's the classic interview where they were talking about how they only ever wanted Benedict Cumberbatch for Sherlock, and then they saw a kajillion Watsons, and then the minute Martin Freeman walked in, they were like, yeah, that one. That there.
Like, we should leave it to our listeners. Yeah, send in your ideas. If Simon Pegg was Lestrade, who do you think should play the other characters?
This is a good plan.
That's good.
So we can cross-source it. We're clearly baffled.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I mean, we already posited the queer Ben Whishaw Eddie Redmayne version.
I want that to be a thing.
Sorry, right, what?
Backstory, I suppose. Yeah. We're doing a questionnaire for, like, what should our first commentary be? And some people were upset that we didn't put the Richie version.
As an option. To vote for.
And it wasn't, like, a slight against Richie. It was just I didn't think of it when I made my list. Because I was thinking of things like Asylum Holmes.
And Great Mouse Detective.
Because it's me. So, and then it was just a little bit, like...
There was a kerfuffle.
And then Lindsay had the hysterical idea to be like, why can't we have this? Like, why isn't William Gillette still touring?
Exactly.
Why can't we have a queer version of Sherlock Holmes with Ben Whishaw and Eddie Redmayne? And someone asked, like, why can't we? And I was like, good question. So I immediately went and found two gifts.
She found the best
of gift. One of Ben Whishaw when he played Keats, and he's like, he's eating something very phallic, and the next one of Eddie Redmayne doing, like, that sideways, like, cocky smile of his, and it was good.
Eddie Redmayne.
It was good.
I was demanding to know all kinds of things, like, why can't we have Jude Law shirtless on Mount Rushmore? Like, why is that not a thing? Oh, people were, it's weird when people question content that is just accidentally relevant to our own interests as opposed to being deliberately you're automatically, if you're going to talk about Sherlock Holmes, you will automatically be leaving out some adaptation. There's something.
There's a gazillion of them.
You know, to be honest,
there's probably 6 or 7 Lestrades that we've missed.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Colin Jeevans.
Yeah, so that's where that thing came from.
Yes, but we do need that.
I need that very deeply now, right? What you're saying.
Yeah, I do. I also need those gifts, man.
Yes, that too.
I also need a cup of tea.
Of course you do.
Can I be free, Christina? I just want to have a cup of tea.
Yes, Catherine, you can go drink your goddamn tea. Ritz. So, in short, Lestrade is a badass, more than competent, sassy. Sometimes rat-faced, sometimes devilishly handsome.
Sometimes terrier-like.
Sometimes terrier-like. Mm-hmm. But all around, super awesome.
He's really one of the closest people to Sherlock Holmes other than John Watson in the canon. Yes. It's like, it's him. They got it so perfect in BBC Sherlock because it's him, Mrs. Hudson, and John. Like, those are that's the trifecta of people that he really cares about. And, it was beautiful that they got that right. And he, in the canon cases, I mean, he appears more often than any of the other inspectors. There's other cool inspectors, you know? There's Hopkins, there's Stanley Hopkins.
Bradstreet's great.
Bradstreet is, like, awesome. And Bradstreet is one of these people who, like, really tolerates Sherlock Holmes and is like, this guy's cool. He looks crazy, but it's fine. he's great. Athelney Jones is ridiculous. Gregson is okay. He's not the most competent, I think, inspector in the canon, but Holmes respects him. But Lestrade is a friend, and that's...
Yeah.
And, you know, you have that moment at the beginning of... I think it's 5 Orange Pips, where there's the knock at the door in the middle of the storm, and Watson is like, is that a friend of yours coming over? And Holmes says... friend. He says, save yourself, I have none.
I don't have friends.
And he's, totally, with like 9 chins. And he's wrong. And that's beautiful, because Lestrade is his friend.
Yes.
And you really see that later in 6 Napoleons, I said. But, 6 Napoleons. But that's a lovely thing. And in Hound of the Baskervilles, where he just says, there's a devil hound, I need you. And Lestrade's like, cool.
Okay.
No problem.
Scared, but okay.
Scared, but gonna run toward it, because, you know.
Yeah.
Because awesome.
I'll be there.
Exactly. And it's lovely. It's the one person, other than John Watson, who he would turn to.
And that he knew he could rely on him.
Yeah. Best of the Yarders.
Yes.
As he says.
And, yes. Yep.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Kermit.
Thanks for staying with the episode this long. You rock.
We are good at podcasts.
If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you too?